the Veterans of Foreign Wars. The VFW is the nation's largest and oldest major war veterans organization. We discuss the role of the VFW on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Wisconsin VFW held its centennial celebration last month at its state convention in Milwaukee. The state VFW has 245 posts. Join in on the role of the VFW in your community. Perhaps you're a member. 800-642-1234. Ron Ramos is state senior vice commander, served in the Marines as a data analyst and system administrator with deployments in Iraq and Afghanistan. Member of New Richmond St. Croix County Memorial VFW Post 10818. Ron, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me over. Appreciate it.
Good morning. And Michelle Rathke is here, newly elected state commander. She's a U.S. Air Force veteran, served 20 years of active duty, deployed in the Gulf War and other conflict areas. A member of the Schmidt-Manicki-Donner VFW Post 1638 in Merrill. Commander Rathke, did I pronounce that right? Welcome to you.
Welcome. Yes, that is correct. And thank you for inviting us on the talk show today.
Well, Commander, let's start with you. What caused you to join and become a member of your post, from more than 17 years ago?
When I first got out of the service, there was this little hole in my heart, and I didn't know where to go. And I was introduced to the VFW through my sister-in-law. And ever since then, it's filled that hole. I love the camaraderie of the VFW and to get in to meet new people almost daily and help people out with anything that they might be struggling through the VA system or just in life in general, and to help out with the families. I have three wonderful children, and they were all born in the service. And I just think that the VFW should become more a family-oriented organization. It was back in the World War II timeframe, but as we went into the Vietnam, and then we had that Cold War syndrome, and now we have the time that Ron and I served, and we have young families, and I think we just need to keep pushing forward into the future for our own selves and for our medical reasons.
Ron, what about you? You have been part of the VFW for 7 years. What brought you to the VFW?
For me, what it was when I got out the service, I struggled a lot with adjusting. It eventually led to homelessness, which brought me to Wisconsin. I had just had my daughter at the time, and I was unemployed, living out of her grandparents' room, essentially. And my social worker, the VA, suggested I, get in contact with a veterans group, and the VFW was the first one to call me back. So I started getting involved, and it's been great ever since. They was able to help me find a job, find housing, and now I work full time, and it's been fantastic. So I think it was a great organization to join, and my job is to help move it forward and continue helping veterans who are struggling like I was.
Sounds like the VFW lifted you up and supported you at the time where you felt your lowest, or at the time where you were most disconnected.
Absolutely. The members, are like-minded, their experience. A lot of them have been through what I've been through. A lot of the older ones can help bridge that gap as well. So while some of the older ones may not have known, everything we've gone through as younger veterans of today's wars, they still have life experiences that they were able to help me out with. My mentor, David Green, for my post, he was able to identify some issues that I had and put me to work to keep my mind busy. It ended up leading to my post having an award-winning newsletter for our post that won many national awards and kept me busy and got me started on my track to state leadership. Hmm. So it's been great.
Commander Rathke, I think what I'm hearing from Ron is that really one of the VA's primary goals is connecting every veteran with those much needed benefits that they've earned through military service. How do you see the VFW delivering on that?
Well, we constantly are at the legislative and here in Madison and trying to make the benefit just a little bit better for those that served. A lot of us went into the service as healthy as you could possibly be. And then, of course, with all the effects of either some kind of agent or different job capacities, our bodies took a toll, and we just need to keep going forth with changing of the benefits for the veterans. And the legislative in Wisconsin is very supportive, especially at the national. We continually try to work with them and push bills through to just make it better for all of us.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the state of the Wisconsin VFW with State Commander Michelle Rathke. We also have Ron Ramos with us, State Senior Vice Commander of the Wisconsin VFW. You can join in on what the VFW means to your family, to your loved ones, your community, how you've seen a change and membership change over time. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ron, I think it was interesting you shared a bit of a demographic divide or perhaps a challenge that of, you know, part of the VA is the Korea-Vietnam era, and then there's a big gap in major foreign conflicts, and it wasn't until really the Persian Gulf War in 1990, and then you have Iraq and Afghanistan, so you have younger veterans and older veterans, perhaps with some similar needs, some different needs. How do you bridge that generational gap in the VFW?
So with me, what I experienced with my post is pretty unique. We have a lot of Vietnam veterans. The VFW consists primarily of Vietnam veterans. And the way it works is, unfortunately, you know, we don't go out seeking war. You know, war happens, and that's how you become a qualified member of the VFW itself. So in periods of time where we have no official conflicts, you know, we have a lack of membership. So because of events of 9/11 and things like that, we have a substantial amount of volunteer individuals who now qualify for membership at the VFW. That left the Vietnam veterans taking charge for many, 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 many years. Unfortunately, they didn't receive the welcome home, you know, as well received as we did. But they started rolling on benefits and making sure that we were taken care of. At my post, what was a really good recipe for success is having some of the older veterans kind of mentor us younger ones, kind of split the workload 50-50. They've been able to do all the day-to-day business that the VFW needs to conduct. My post doesn't have a canteen or anything else like that. We just operate out of an office, and we're more community-minded. So they can handle day-to-day activities and any big picture items, weekend items, things like that. They allow us younger veterans to be able to take care of those and give the Vietnam veterans kind of a break. So it's a really nice gap. So they're able to mentor us. They are able to speak about life experiences that we've either yet to experience or we're experiencing and not realizing it. So it's been a fantastic kind of bridging there. But it is up to the Vietnam veterans to help mentor us younger ones, you know, in ways that we haven't quite seen yet.
Commander Rathke, how do you see that passing of the torch, if you will, in that generational shift?
Well, when I joined, I was one of the younger veterans, all of 38 years old. And as time has gone on, I feel like I'm the oldest of the youngest generation right now. That has became eligible for the VFW. And it is great, like what Senior Vice Ramos said there, is passing the torch from the Vietnam veterans down to my era of service. It's very important that we remember our past so that we can keep the future going for for the VFW, because if we forget what our past was, we're going to lose sight of that. One of my goals was for this year is to preserve the legacy of the past by assuring a successful future of the VFW. And that kind of wraps into what he was saying, is we got to make sure that they're keeping us going down the right path and continuing to serve all the veterans to come. And then to, you know, make the VFW look more advantageous to the younger veterans that are serving right now. Mm-hmm. And sometimes a misnomer of being part of the VFW is like, well, I'm still active duty. Well, as long as you served over in combat somewhere or deployed to a combat location, you're automatically eligible to be part of the VFW. You don't have to wait to finish your service time. We do have quite a few people. Sorry.
I was going to just jump in and say, is it true that South Korea still is considered an active military zone and service there counts toward the requirement?
Yes, it does. As long as you served 30 days or more. And Korea is one of our biggest areas that we can recruit from. But we still have young men and women going over to the combat areas of Africa and Iraq still. And but the Korean one is where I served as one of my eligibilities. And we just... I lost my train of thought.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Let me just pause right here. VFW members, newly elected state commander there, Michelle Rathke, representing Air Force, state senior vice commander, Ron Ramos, representing Marines. Join in on what the VFW means to you, the impact of your local VFW, questions you have about it, 800-642-1234. Back in a moment. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We're learning about the service, the stewardship, the camaraderie of the VFW in Wisconsin on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Nationwide, the VFW says over 4.4 million Americans, both members and non-members, make financial contributions to the VFW and volunteer their time. Join in on what the VFW means to you. 800-642-1234. We have the new state commander. Michelle Rathke is here, earned her VFW eligibility at Kusan Air Force Base in Republic of Korea in 1989. And we have state senior vice commander Ron Ramos, earned his eligibility through multiple deployments to Iraq and Afghanistan in the Marines. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. The state officers are with us for the hour. Let's bring in Marcus now in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi.
Hi, good morning. So first, I'd just like to say I never served in the military, but to the two guests and any other veterans that are listening, I'd just like to say thank you for the blanket of freedom that you provide for me and my children that we sleep under so comfortably, because you did make a huge sacrifice for that, and I'm grateful. Second, I know quite a few veterans, and they've been suffering from adverse health consequences due to the burn pits that the U.S. had, to where they used jet fuel to dispose of everything from Humvees to biological whatever stuff that they had, to medical equipment. And because of that, they have suffered quite significantly, and the costs really aren't being covered by the U.S. government. So what could someone like myself do to help to bring more attention to the issue and also to help raise funds?
Great question, Marcus. Thank you, Commander Rathke.
Just recently, our national legislative passed a PAC Act, and it takes care of all the foreign agents that our bodies have encountered. So there is a big push right now it would be the best thing for them to go into their, what we call the county CVSO, is county Veterans Service Officer, and have them, you know, go over what their symptoms that they're having, and then they can get them into the VA system. And then with that, the VA system, I'm very well taken care of through the VA. And with all these burn pits and stuff, it's just like back in the day when we had the effects of the Agent Orange. It's there, it's real. And a lot of this symptoms are pretty much similar to the Agent Orange symptoms. So as an individual trying to help out someone, is definitely get them to the CVSO. And if they're not getting any help through them, we do have an office in the Milwaukee area. And we have a service officer there. His name is Mitch. And he would be willing to discuss any kind of benefits that could be given to that veteran. But a lot of times, veterans are stubborn, and including myself. And we feel that we don't necessarily deserve the quality treatment that we should be getting. If that individual is willing to seek out help, it is there. It's just sometimes it's a government situation, government tape, if you want to call it, to get through the process. But once it's there, that individual will be taken care of for the rest of their lives, and then including there is some benefits to the family members.
Commander, thank you for that. Ron, what would you like to bring up in response?
Along with our commander, the Honoring Our Pact Act that just passed the national legislation is a legislative act that's going to help enact care for our generation with toxic exposure. This will help us set up for success in the future, as well as any currently presenting signs right now. Gulf War Syndrome is what we're kind of calling it right now, kind of lumping everything all in. And it is not easy to get rated for that just because we're still learning about it. However, going to your VA, going to the CVSO are all tools to help you start building that case. If your friends, your veteran friends, or if you know somebody that's not yet registered for the burn pit exposures through the VA website, I highly recommend doing so. It's nice and easy. If you go to the VA website, there's usually links on it, nice, big, and bright, that say a burn pit registration. That allows you to register your information. It asks you where you served at, what areas of operation, specifically in Iraq, Afghanistan, Desert Storm, stuff like that, for those locations of those specific burn pits. Mm-hmm. So that as you start getting symptoms, they can keep track of it, and it's easier to get rated for it. This is also set up for future, just like Agent Orange, where, you know, 20, 30 years down the line, for some reason, we pop up with some type of cancer linked to the burn pit exposures. It will be retroactive and help you get compensated for that, as well as VA care for those specific issues.
Ron Ramos there, State Senior Vice Commander of the Wisconsin VFW. We also have State Commander Michelle Rathke. You can join in 800-642-1234. As you talk about historical toxic exposure, Commander, the VFW has also helped veterans with rare types of cancer, including the mesothelioma, which is that asbestos exposure. Are the new and more recent toxic exposures, like the burn pits, informed a bit by historical issues with Agent Orange and these rare cancers?
Well, the Agent Orange, which is also known as the mustard gas, that's definitely taking a different toll on our Vietnam veterans and anybody else that was exposed to it. But the burn pits, it's more of a lung issue and the whole breathing system, if you want to call it. And that's where we're finding out, like asthma is a huge thing that is coming upon those that were around the burn pits. And sometimes they're saying that their lungs are perfectly healthy, but in reality, it's probably just within time that their lungs could be impacted. So it is a little bit different than what some of the Agent Orange aspects of it, or mm-hmm. the effects of Agent Orange, I should say. But the burn pits, I think Ron could probably speak a little bit more on the burn pits, because I was not near them, but I do have a lot of fellow veterans that do suffer from them. So he could probably touch on that a little bit better.
Let's pause right there before we do that. Wisconsin VFW State Commander Michelle Rathke of Merrill, Senior Vice Commander Ron Ramos of the New Richmond and St. Croix County Memorial VFW Post. Still time to talk about the VFW in your life, what you want to know, 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show. We'll be back in a moment on the Ideas Network. We look at the impact of the VFW as Wisconsin celebrates 100 years of this war veterans organization. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The VFW, by the numbers, nationwide has more than 1.5 million members and nearly 5,900 posts worldwide. Here in Wisconsin, there are over 25,000 members and 245 posts. Join in on how you view the VFW in your community, what it means to your family, 800-642-1234. Michelle Rathke is a newly elected state commander for Wisconsin VFW. Ron Ramos, state senior vice commander of the Wisconsin VFW, is here. They're here for the hour. Let's bring on another caller. Rana is joining us from Cameron. Hi, Rana.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to the VFW officials. My comment is just this. When my husband returned from Iraq, he retired after 30 years of Army service. He was just too dang old to be in there anymore, flying choppers. And he just retired. And so that whole component of his life that he'd spent 30 years being involved in was suddenly gone, and he just didn't quite feel like himself. You know, he didn't have that connection with things that were so familiar to him for most of his life, and for several years he just stayed away from joining any organization. And finally one day, just out of the blue, he just said, hey, I think I'm going to go to this meeting. And he went, and he's been involved ever since, and it's helped kind of regrouped him in a part of his life that he lived for so long. So for us, the VFW is just so important in helping him continue on his journey in life and meet with his brothers and sisters in arms. So thank you for being available to them.
Rana, thank you for sharing that very personal story. Ron, what would you like to say there? What do you take away?
Rana, thank you very much for your support to your husband. Believe it or not, that's usually the biggest support we can have is our family. So thank you for being there for him. And I agree with everything she says. I mean, there's a camaraderie that you don't get outside of the military. Anywhere from the dark humor we have to just messing with each other, or being able to just, you know, quickly share an experience and know that somebody else, you know, at least semi understands what you're going through and can either just let you vent or just speak, or maybe have something to retort in response. So I agree 100% that that's what the VFW can provide, in addition to just the legislative and the advocating that we do. It was one of the main things that helped me be able to essentially get out of my awkward stage when I left the service and struggling to be, as my members empathetically call it, a social butterfly, and be able to speak to people. So I think it was a great move, and for him to get involved, and we really appreciate all the support and the work that our members do.
Commander Rathke, reaching out, though, can also be a challenge for people. You mentioned that you use the word stubborn about yourself as well. And I'm wondering, there for veterans who are there who think that, you know, the VFW is not for them, or that they don't feel like there is that they should be able to do this themselves. What would you say?
Well, there are other veterans organizations out there. If the VFW is not the great fit for you, we do have the American Legion, and they celebrated their 100th year not so long ago. And then we have the Disabled American Veterans, and then we have the AMVETS, which is known as the American Veterans. So those all just take different eligibilities. But the biggest one with the VFW is you must be in a served honorably and served overseas in a war or a campaign or a foreign expedition. So it just depends. I don't want to say that the VFW is the high and mighty of the services or the veteran services, but we definitely have a common bond of being in combat. Yes, we have all served, including my brothers and sisters of the American Legion, DAV, and AMVETS. But when you're overseas, there's a different aspects that you just don't think about until you get back to the American soil. And then you find out that, hey, that did affect me a little bit differently than just serving, you know, maybe just stateside or in a overseas location where there was no combat going on. So it does make a big difference where you have served and what organizations you feel that you could fit in best.
I want to talk candidly about perceptions of the VFW and the stereotypes. Ron, last summer, the National VFW did a focus group with veterans, mostly under 50, and they labeled, most of them labeled VFW posts as little more than bingo halls with bars. How do you break through that perception that, you know, VFW halls are a place to grab a drink? They're just for older veterans.
For me, I try to get out there as much as I can. I'm one of the younger members on our council. And I believe I'll be the youngest state commander during my tenure in Wisconsin. So us having a younger team this year, starting, you know, with Corey last year as an Iraq veteran, Michelle this year, and then myself, and then our next one going in, we try to get out as much as possible. And I love to remind people that the VFW is not a bar or canteen. Nowhere in our bylaws does it specify how to run a bar or canteen, because that's not who we are. The VFW is not set up to be ran as a bar or canteen or a place to get drinks. Members started having them to be able to fund having a physical location for themselves. So they needed a steady stream of income to be able to do that. Nowadays, a lot of newer posts don't have that, my posts included. We just operate out of an office and we conduct fundraisers throughout the entire year in the community. Being a younger veteran, we're more community-minded than wanting to just sit around and talk in a bar. So we'd rather be out in the community serving our community the same way we served our country. So that's where the biggest difference is, and a lot of people don't realize that. So I try to get out there and inform people of that. Social media has been our biggest ally here. We're starting to utilize social media a lot more. Michelle is like this selfie queen for our commander here. She's great at it. I'm a younger veteran, but I still kind of take the dad selfie. So I have my daughter help me out every so often. My girlfriend is great helping me out. But we are on social media. We try to do things. I mean, I have a TikTok. I post fun stuff on there. You know, we are younger. We're getting younger, but the perception is still out there because, unfortunately, the majority of VFWs that still stand do have a bar. But we are a community-minded organization, and that's what we need to continue focusing on instead of the bar itself.
Commander Rathke, what are your thoughts about the perception here and the stereotypes that linger?
In our communities, like Ron was saying, when the VFWs in that particular community get out and promote the programs that we have, for instance, we have what's called the Patriot's Pen program. That's for 6th to 8th graders. They write a 500 word essay basically on a topic, and then of course it's judged at different levels. And then we have the Voice Democracy program, that is for 9th through 12th grade, and it's an audio essay. I mean, they still write the essay and then they speak it onto a thumb drive or such, and then that's also judged. And if they were to go up to the national level, the Voice Democracy, they could win up to $35,000 for a scholarship. Hmm. And then the Patriot's Pen is also given a certain amount of money. And then we have, you know, the Student Veterans Program. Curtis Lemke is going to be my chairman for that this year. And he has some wonderful ideas to get started with that. And because a lot of our veterans that get out of the service, they go straight into college to just improve themselves a little bit to get more marketable for the civilian sector. And then we also have the scouting program. That's a huge program. You got the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scout program, and there's lots of recognition to be given there. And I know what Ron's saying. It's just not us sitting around smoking a cigarette and drinking beer, but it is a time when some veterans will actually start talking about something that they experienced. That's probably why some of the bars were created. Hmm. And but, you know, if we're out in the communities, a lot of times the people that are scared to go into a bar, they'll come up to and speak to us and ask us questions. And hopefully we're giving them the answers that they're looking for. But the stigma of, like when my grandpa was in the VFW, and I can remember being about 10 years old, walking in there, "Oh, you're such a cute little girl." And then they're all sitting around drinking and laughing and so forth. But it does bring a little camaraderie there when a person can speak about their service time and hopefully get something that might've been buried into their memory banks, but then also might have helped them take care of a PTSD moment too.
Hmm. Let me ask you this. If a VFW post shuts down, what happens to those members of that post? What happens to the building? What are the situations there?
If we do have a post that is shut down, we do try to go in and see if there's reasons for it to be shut.
I think we just lost you there, Commander Rathke.
Yes.
I'm sorry, there was just a pause there. I think we had a connection issue. Try again.
Okay. Are you
okay? Yeah, we can hear you now. Mm-hmm.
Okay. When a post is at a level of membership, we have no choice but to.
And
we like to consolidate.
We're having some connection issues there. I'm going to just pause right here. We're going to get back to this conversation with Commander Michelle Rathke, newly installed commander VFW, the Department of Wisconsin. Ron Ramos with us, senior state commander. You can join in. Still time, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up in a moment on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation about the VFW Department of Wisconsin as the Veterans Service Organization marks 101 years. They held a centennial celebration last month at their state convention in Milwaukee. Still time to talk about the VFW mission and service, your connection, 800-642-1234. Ron Ramos, State Senior Vice Commander of the Wisconsin VFW, and State Commander Michelle Rathke there with us for about nine more minutes. Michelle, I think we've got you on a better connection now. What happens when a post goes dark?
Okay, so like I was stating before, if a post does go dark, we try to get them involved into another post in the area, just to keep them active. And a lot of times it is a good thing for a post to close down, because back in the World War II days, we had so many people in the service, or that came back from the service, and they started all these little posts in their little communities. But what we're finding out is our membership is dwindling, but that's because we don't have as many people being deployed like there was in the World War II. And not only that, you have a lot of times that veteran going on a deployment, not just once, not just twice, but three or four times or even more. And so the numbers as far as membership is not what it used to be. But when a post does go dark, the building is sold because we don't want to keep that asset in our books per se. And then we just make sure that all the members are put into another VFW in the local area.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to shut down a VFW, but when I said earlier that if it goes below 10 members, we have no choice. And a lot of times it's just getting out in the community and finding those veterans that still should be serving with, right along with Ron and I and Carrie, and just to keep our patriotism going in those communities.
Ron, is post-consolidation something you see, something that you work with?
It's something that I started seeing and working with slightly last year during my tenure as a junior vice commander. During that role, I get to learn kind of the administrative operations at the departmental level here. But it is something that, you know, it will happen again as our as we're not actively in quote unquote wars. You know, we'll have a dwindling membership. Which will unfortunately force some posts to close down. We ideally want to try to save as many as we can, but just given the demographics of our qualifications, you know, at some point in time it's bound to happen. But it's not like I've seen, or at least fortunate for me, I haven't seen us, you know, shut down 20, 30, 40 posts or something else like that. It's been very minuscule on what I've been able to be a part of.
Let's take another call. Marlene is with us from Waukesha. Marlene, hi.
Hi there. I know the veterans have issues to grapple with, and they've been in some tough situations. And I was impressed with the comments that were made about wanting to reach out and help the community. And I'm wondering if your participants see any connection between veterans with post-traumatic stress disorder and how that could be tied in with individuals in the community who have post-traumatic stress disorder for a variety of reasons. I mean, even like the parade situations and that kind of thing. And it seems like they could be a big help to those people and have the heart to do it as well.
So the crossover between military and civilian PTSD approaches and groups. Commander, go ahead.
Well, we do have a program. It's not really a VFW-based program, but it's called Reboot. My VFW post, Tracy Jopek and Corey Dornbrook, have done a really great job of bringing this program on. And what Reboot is for... Well, it was designed for service members, and then any emergency, like your fire department, your EMTs, because their lives are put on the line every day, just like the veterans are. So this program is designed to help you think about why you may have encountered that PTSD moment or how to deal with it in the future. I know we hope that the psychologist can fix ourselves, but sometimes it's yourself that has to be willing to go through that that class, if you want to call it that. And it is a religious-based class, but I did go through it, one of the very first classes, and it did help me a lot. And I don't know, that would probably be one of the biggest things is to get some kind of a program in the communities, such as Reboot. And we can definitely get that information to the radio station here, the public radio station, and so that if people want to try that in their local areas, it'd be a great program. But as far as helping out the other individuals, I guess a peer group, you know, that could meet at a BFW location or any veteran service location, and just open up the dialogue to talk about their experiences of, you know, coming up on a car crash or being in a parade situation where like we have seen. And but that would be, I guess, the best link that we could do for the civilian sector.
Ron, what is coming up for you as you think about ways that non-members of the VFW can give back or become involved with services?
What I see is, for me, what's been, I've seen successful is getting those VFW members, those veterans, involved in the community, joint community service. At our post, you do not need to be a VFW member to volunteer or participate. You do need to be a VFW member to, you know, attend the meetings and have a voice in how we run things. But otherwise, our community is very open to assisting us in doing what we need. We have had a few, you know, civilians and community members ask for assistance, and we help out as best as we can. We do know of a few programs locally that we donate towards to provide funding and be able to get those individuals help that they need. If they come to us, we won't usually ever turn them away. We just forward them to an individual who may be able to better assist them. But otherwise, we do work closely with our county's resources available to everybody, such as mental health, housing, things like that, HUD-VASH programs. So we try to do what we can to assist without getting into the realm of psychology and, you know, heading down that road, because we are not psychologists. We're happy to bend an ear and listen. You know, if somebody wants to talk to us, we're happy to listen to that. But we try to steer away from actually, you know, connecting
to experts and services. Well, Ron and Michelle, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Michelle Rathke, newly elected state commander for Wisconsin VFW. Ron Ramos, state senior vice commander of the Wisconsin VFW. We have a link at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.